As the insurgency was heating up in the Sunni Triangle, Lieutenant Colonel Steve Russell, based in its northern part in the town of Tikrit, was dealing with a wave of attacks in which bombers were using the transmitters from radio-controlled toy cars. They would take the electronic guts of the cars, wrap them in C4 plastic explosive, and attach a blasting cap, then detonate them by remote control. So Russell, who commanded an infantry battalion, mounted one of the toy car controllers on the dashboard of his Humvee and taped down the levers. Because all the toy cars operated on the same frequency, this would detonate any similar bomb about 100 yards before his Humvee got to the spot. This poor man's anti-explosive device was risky, perhaps, Russell wrote in a 58-page summary of his unit's time in Iraq, but better than the alternative of leaving the detonation to the bombers. The most effective counter-bomb tactic turned out to be the low-tech sniper. U.S. troops learned to hide and spy on spots, such as traffic circles, where bombs were likely to be emplaced. "Anyone who comes out in the middle of the night to plant an IED dies," a senior Central Command official reported. The typical IED cell, American intelligence analysts concluded, usually consisted of 6 to 8 people. It was led by a planner-financier. Next came the bomb maker, who handled the construction of the device, but not its delivery. The third specialist was the emplacer, who would plant the bomb by pretending to fix a flat or fire, or in some customized vehicles, would drop the bomb through a hole cut in the floor of a car. In addition, the cell had a triggerman, who would detonate the bomb, and perhaps a spotter or two to provide security for the rest of the team. Many cells had someone in an additional role, cameraman. According to U.S. intelligence, the majority of bomb attacks were videotaped by the bomb cell, in part as a learning device to improve attacks, in part for propaganda and recruiting purposes. This reliance on video cameras was one reason that U.S. troops became so antagonistic toward television news cameramen, especially those of Arab ethnicity, whom the troops tended to assume were in league with the insurgents. "There is an element, and I am not saying this applies everywhere, but some of the local hires of some of the local media organizations do their agencies a disservice because they've got links to insurgents and terrorist organizations," said Army General George Casey, who took over command in mid-2004. "We have not found that rampantly, but we know it's true in a few cases." Most of the U.S. responses to the bomb attacks were reactive. About half the attacks during the summer of 2003 were against soft-skinned Humvees, which were lacking any armor. During the fall and winter of 2003-4, the Army emphasized adding armor to vehicles, but partly because it kept underestimating the depth and breadth of the insurgency, it struggled for over a year to get its people into better protected vehicles. It also studied the frequencies on which car alarm transmitters and other devices operated, and began to jam them with mobile electronic gear. Despite these steps, the toll from the bombs increased with the passage of time. During 2003, there was only 1 month, November, when the insurgency took off with a Ramadan offensive, in which more than 20 U.S. personnel were lost to roadside bombs and similar landmines, according to a mortality analysis by the Office of the Armed Forces Medical Examiner. But from January through November 2004, more than 20 troops were killed that way in every month but two. November 2004 was the worst of all, with more than 40 soldiers lost to the bombs. What those numbers disguise is that the toll would have been higher were it not for the improvements in armor defenses, because the number of bomb attacks increased steadily in 2004. "IEDs are my number one threat," General Abizaid stated in a memorandum sent in June of that year to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But they were hardly ubiquitous. Most of the bombings occurred along major routes in a surprisingly small area, along about a total of 250 miles of roadway in Baghdad, and leading from the capital city to the west, north, and northeast. Every day, hundreds of U.S. convoys traveled these main supply routes, becoming targets that were hit with surprising frequency.